Welcome back to the Glitches and Gearheads podcast. We got our two normal dudes from the last two episodes. We got myself and we got Corin.
Hey.
And the prodigal son returns.
Drum roll, please.
Devin returns.
Hi! Woo! I'm back!
He's back. Don't click away. I know you were going to. You were like, no, it's just Corin and Jordan again. I don't want to listen to this, but nope, Devin's back.
Back by popular demand.
Yep. He was going to quit, and then we told him
I how was much not everyone going to loved quit. Him. I was having some things I had to deal with, because family sometimes can be dumb.
Sometimes? But
that's not the...
Sometimes.
Yeah. Listen, I don't know. Some people got good families and stuff out there. I mean...
Who?
Yeah, who?
I don't know. Someone out there has to. Like... Come on now. Anyway, let's get right into it, okay? Who's got a topic? Oh, wait.
You have topics. You have a bunch of topics.
I am on
you
a roll.
You got the topics.
Look at this.
You get to talk. You're back. You have multiple topics. You don't not have topics. And I don't have topics. Devin, go with your topics.
All right. I'm going to go with my topics. But look at this. I'm on a roll. I have topics. And I'm here.
He's got topics, and he's here.
And he's here.
Two out of two. That's like 100% or something.
That's everything that we expect from you.
Wait. Did you wipe your butt?
Ah, dang it. Yeah,
God dang it, Devin.
No, he did.
He did? Okay, good.
I was just playing you.
100%!
Woo! Okay. So, I want to start with a sad story.
Oh, God.
All right.
Oh.
After all that, so, you're going to start us off sad.
You know, we got to build it up and then we got to bring it back down a little bit. And then we got to be able to build it back up. You can't build it up if you're already at the top.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. I mean, you got to like think of like a dubstep song where you're like building up to the drop. This is the drop. We're dropping.
And then we're going to build up again.
I don't know. I don't listen to dubstep very much anymore. Anyway, so this is the story of a stolen Miata.
Oh, yeah.
A what? A stolen Miata?
Stolen Miata.
Your stolen Miata? I hope not.
No. Thankfully, it's not my stolen Miata. My Miata is safely at home with me right now. So I am in a Miata car group. In the area,
as just like a Facebook groups,
right? As every Miata owner and or just car owner should be.
Yeah,
I mean, you should have a group of people who have the same car that can help you if something goes wrong. Anyway, so this particular Miata, the owner decided one day he was going to stop at Publix for 20 minutes. Went inside, took his steering wheel with him, as you do, with a quick release steering wheel. And went into the store. Came back out about 20 minutes later. No Miata. Still has a steering wheel, but no Miata. Okay, so what happened to his Miata, right? So he's asking in the group, like, hey, like, what do you guys think I should do? Like, I called the cops. I don't know what to do. Nobody's reporting anything or saying that they saw anything. So he goes, like, to check cameras and stuff. They won't give him anything until he gets the police there and involved and blah, blah, blah. Somebody stole his Miata. He thought maybe it got towed, but it was way too low to be towed. The special thing about this Miata is that it was a LS2 swapped Miata. So it had a big, hefty V8 in there.
So sad, dude. Who freaking steals a car and was it during the day?
Yeah. Broad daylight.
Broad daylight at a Publix?
Yep, at a Publix. A crowded Publix at that.
How?
I would argue that's the best time to steal a car.
It really? Might be. I mean, maybe. Who knows? But it happened.
Who's expecting it? Nobody. Not this dude.
Exactly. I mean, I wouldn't have expected it. But anyway, so he's, you know, called the cops and tells them, hey, my Miata was stolen, blah, 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 this, that, the other thing. Here's what it looked like. Here's pictures. Like, what can you do? They say, oh, well, honestly, we probably can't do anything about it. Which really sucks because, you know, what do you want? You want help if that happens. So he turns to us in the Miata group. Now, some of the people in this Miata group have rather large Instagram pages, like Tampa Bay Hoonigans and Tampa Bay Miatas and other things like that. So this car gets plastered everywhere on social media, in the area at least. I mean, some of you may have even seen it if you follow any of those accounts, but this thing gets seen by upwards of 15,000 people within like 2 hours.
Wow.
About 3 hours later, he finds the somebody tips him off that the car is in a parking lot. Like, they send him a picture. Hey, I think I saw your car. Like, it was over here. So they go there. Car's not there. So they're trying to get somebody in the area to tell them if they saw where it went, because it was in Trinity area. Nothing. Another hour passes. Hey, we found your car, somebody tells him. He goes and looks at it. It's completely gutted. Completely 100% gutted, destroyed. The tires are slashed. The wheels are dented. Like, this thing is, and it smells like gasoline on the inside. Like, they were going to burn it, but because it got too hot of a car, like, too many people were looking for it, they decided to dump it. So he got his car back, but with no motor. The transmission was jammed into third gear, wouldn't move. Basically, it's full rebuild. Mind you, this guy got the car 2 weeks prior to this. And
oh, my God. Himself.
This makes you so upset.
Right? Come to find out. Now, see, if I had told you this story a week or two ago when it happened, we wouldn't have this update to it. So come to find out the other day, it is a female friend that he thought he knew that planned for the car to be stolen. They came with their own steering wheel, broke into the car. He had a kill switch installed in the car as well, hidden underneath the carpet. They disconnected that when they went to steal it, all within 20 minutes. So you would think somebody would have to know what's going on with this thing.
Wow.
Which we told him, and he, you know, was like, no, I don't think it would have been somebody I know. But anyway, so then finds out who it is. Now cops are doing their thing. But how crappy do you have to be of a person to steal your friend's car, somebody that you're close to, steal their car and do that to it? Something that you know they love. Like, who does that?
Makes me wonder, like, did this dude do something? Like, was this payback
for something else? The person needed money. That was their excuse. I needed money. Okay. So that's why they did that.
Never mind.
And as of right now, he still hasn't found any of the parts. There was a lead on an engine, but it didn't turn out to be the same one that he had. But yeah, how stupid is that somebody would do that to a quote-unquote friend?
Wow.
I was hoping there would be more input on your guys' part, but I guess not.
So. There's no input on that.
It's so upsetting. I don't know what to say. I frankly, it's like you have to be a really, really crappy human being to do that to someone.
Right? I mean, like,
and if they wanted the engine, that's fine. Just take the engine and leave the rest of the car. Mm-hmm. But they messed it up on purpose.
They trashed it. Like, they ripped apart the dashboard, like literally ripped the screws out of the dashboard.
Like, if you want the engine, if you want the more expensive parts, take them and just leave it. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying do that, but I'm just saying the fact that what they did about, you know, ruining a transmission, like trashing a car, and then they're slashing and denting the rims. Like, yeah, it's definitely personal.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous. Like, nobody should do that to another human being at all.
That's so upsetting.
Wow.
Right? Well,
Let's take the news in a different direction now.
The good news with it is he does have the car running again. He got it back to the 1.8 that I believe it came with, or he swapped in a 1.8. It's a little unclear, but he's able to drive it around again now. So, and he seems like he's in, you know, good spirits about it. Like, he's going to rebuild it to a LS again. But I mean, it sucks that happened, and it's a terrible thing. But at least he's taking it in stride and just going to move forward instead of just dwelling on it and letting it ruin his life. So.
So upsetting.
Right? Okay, right. So somebody give us a better topic that's not sad.
Let's talk about Epic Games. Everyone's favorite game company, right?
I said something not sad.
Oh, this isn't sad. This is just strange. Okay, all
right, go ahead.
First of all, how much do you guys use the Epic Game Store?
Zero.
Zero?
I get the free games.
You get the free games, right? Yeah. I get the free games. That's it. That's all I do on the Epic Game Store. What, like, your primary game store is probably Steam, right?
Yeah, of course. It's the best.
So yep, Steam. Epic's big all thing day. When they started getting into the games selling battle, when they tried to go into battle with Steam, was they were like, okay, we're going to put a bunch of money into trying to acquire exclusives. Right? And remember, that was a huge thing where there was like, oh, this game's going to be Epic exclusive, and everyone freaking hated it.
Yeah.
It was like, why? This isn't competition at this point. This is just you trying to monopolize.
Exactly.
Guess how much money they lost acquiring exclusives?
$40 million.
Higher.
$140 million.
Higher.
$500 million.
Lower.
$250 million.
Little higher.
$270 million.
Little bit more.
$290 million.
$330 million.
Dang it, that's a lot more.
Yeah, $330 million. The only reason this came out also is because Epic and Apple are in their court battle.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple was doing some digging into Epic's financing, and they discovered that they've lost $330 million acquiring exclusives.
Ooh, interesting thing to find when they're complaining about getting money out of Apple for in-store purchases. I feel like they would have been smarter to just shut their mouth and take what they were getting than to cause a problem and get nothing.
Wow.
For the time being.
You'd think.
Because, like, aside from the exclusive thing, I'm curious as to how much money they're losing currently from not being able to purchase or sell things on the Apple Store
or the Google Store. They got banned from both, but they only went into battle with Apple. They might, I don't know if they can have Fortnite on the Google Play Store at this point or not. That wasn't the big thing. It was them and Apple was like the big thing, right?
But I'm curious as to how much money they're losing from that currently.
But
feel like that would have offset this deficit that they just threw themselves into by doing the exclusives. At least you would think you'd want to make more money than start bludgeoning yourself and losing all the money.
So you say that they're in a deficit, right? However, they just wrapped up a huge funding campaign and they acquired $1 billion in funding, pushing their total equity valuation up to $28.7 billion.
Holy moly.
I don't understand why a company that big needs funding.
For real.
Like, that is an odd thing, like, isn't
it? Hey, I'm a multi-billion. They're in the billions. I'm a multi-billion dollar company. You guys should give me money to do what I'm doing.
You want
to
guess
so what their biggest... So then I don't have to use my money to do it.
You want to guess what their biggest investor was?
Apple.
Google.
That would be funny. But no, it's not Apple. It's not Google. Think gaming.
Gaming-wise? Like Activision. Developer or like...
Bigger than just a developer.
Oh, like a studio.
Bigger than that.
Like Microsoft?
You're close. You're close. It's Sony. Yeah.
Sony. That was my second guess.
Yeah. Sony gave them $200 million. And they gave them... Sony last year gave them $250 million. So they're...
$250 million. And then they give you $200 million again.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So Sony and Epic are like best buds right now. Which is funny because Sony hates... like cross-platform gaming. They don't like to be a part of that. One of the only games that Sony has accepted being cross-platform in is Fortnite.
They're also in Apex now also.
In Apex, they are in Genshin. Like, you can play with PS4 players.
Right.
But you cannot transfer your account. Like, it's not cross-save, so you can't have one account across PC and mobile and PS4.
Oh.
So if you have an account on PS4, it's only on PS4.
Gotcha.
So that's interesting, I thought, yeah. At least. That, like, the only ones that are, like, super universal is Fortnite, and it's Epic, and they're, like, best buds in investors right now.
Interesting. I don't get why. Like, maybe that's their way of saying that they want to try to get into that, but I don't know.
I think that's Sony just basically saying that they see what Epic is doing and they want to be a part of it. They want to continue to support them. Because Epic's not just about Fortnite, right? And yeah. We like to joke that, like, okay, Fortnite's dying, et cetera, et cetera. But Fortnite's still doing okay, right? Like, yeah. Fortnite's not going anywhere. It's still Fortnite. A big game. Like, you know, people have been joking about League of Legends being dead for years, but League of Legends still ain't going anywhere. Fortnite is, like, fallen into the same genre, I would say, that League of Legends has, where, like, it's not as huge as it once was, but it's also not going anywhere. It's still probably the biggest battle royale, or at least one of the biggest.
I would have to disagree, because I think one of the biggest battle royales right now is COD.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still one of the biggest, though. Like, it's not going anywhere. It's still a huge moneymaker.
Yeah, it is it is a big moneymaker, but I have a hard time believing it's going to stay.
Actually, Fortnite is currently the third best battle royale game of 2021 by player count.
What are the number one and two?
Number one is Call of Duty Warzone.
Okay.
Number two is Apex Legends.
Okay, yeah.
And then number three is Fortnite.
Wow. I can't believe currently. I honestly can't believe it's still up there like that.
No, I 100% believe it's still up there.
I mean, I'm not surprised it's still up there. I'm actually kind of surprised that Apex is doing as well as they are. They actually just released for Switch recently.
Yeah. That might be part of it.
Yeah. But aside from that, they keep updating with actual good new content that people want to come back for. Mm-hmm. Is the other thing.
Blah. Nice.
Cool.
All right. I've got another one. If anyone else wants to chip in, or I've got another one as well, which can kind of play off of this one.
Go for it.
Okay. I mean, either you or I got some GPU news.
Well, let's build off of this one first, because we're talking about like games killing themselves, or, you know, like games surpassing another game. You guys have heard of Outriders at this point, right?
Oh, yeah, I just saw that yesterday.
What is that?
So Outriders,
explain it to me like I'm a 4-year-old who doesn't know what it is.
It's another looter shooter. It's in the genre of like Destiny and Anthem and that kind of thing.
It's like Destiny.
Don't say Anthem.
It's like Destiny, but God of War graphics.
Oh.
Yeah. Not God of War, not Gears of War. My bad.
Gears of War. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That's a better comparison. Well,
still, that's intriguing.
Yeah. So, Outriders releases. It's got some pretty good press. People like the game. It's got some server issues, but people are willing to overlook that, thinking that, like, okay, the devs are going to fix that. It has, at this point, completely crushed Avengers, which... Surprise, surprise.
It crushed what?
Avengers wants to, like, drive their game into the dirt at this point.
I'm sorry, it crushed what?
Exactly. But then...
I don't know what he was talking about. He said some weird word. Avengers?
Avengers? What's Avengers?
Like Albuquerque?
I don't know. Maybe it's a type of fruit or something.
But then they just released their latest... one of their first ever balance patches... Just a few days ago, like 4 or 5 days ago, and people are confused as heck. Because, like, it's okay, it's a multiplayer game, but a lot of people just play it single player, right? There's no multiplayer, like PvP, to my knowledge. So it's just a PvE game. So what's the primary reason that you're playing a PvE game? It's for, like, the power fantasy, right? Yeah. Like you want to feel that, powerful,
and you want to like kind of grind for loot, collect stuff.
Yeah, sort of. You want to rule loot, you want to feel that you're in.
Yeah, you want to feel powerful, right? Yeah. So there were things that people were like, okay, in the first balance patch, they're gonna like these are the strong things. They're gonna buff up other stuff to the level of the strong things, but apparently not. Apparently, the devs decided no. You don't get to be this powerful. They nerfed a bunch of stuff to the point where, like, people don't even want to play the game anymore because the things that they were playing that were strong aren't strong anymore, and the things that weren't strong still aren't strong.
Oh, they did like that one game that was out, the Marvel game. I can't remember what it's called. It's so old
now. Yeah, what was that game called?
Nobody cares about it at this point, but it sounds like that.
So people are just left scratching their heads like, why? Why would you do this? Like, there's nothing, you're not hurting anything by like having characters or builds that are powerful, right? Like, unless there's a huge outlier where like this one thing is by far and large the best. And like, if you feel like if you're not playing this, then you're playing the game suboptimally. That's one thing. But that wasn't the case to my knowledge here.
Right, it sounds like it was like a, you know, casual kind of a, like, oh, just build yourself up and do what you want, and then you don't have to worry about fighting other people. So it's not like you have to be competitive with what your build is, unless there's some reason to do that, like you get better rewards or something. But
no, I don't think they like increased any kind of rewards or anything to like compensate. And to my knowledge, it looks like the server issues are still there, at least somewhat, so they haven't even fixed like the actual big issues.
Wow.
So it's weird, like they have this game with big potential, and then their first big balance patch where they have the chance to really like knock it out of the park and prove to people like, hey, we know what we're doing, they kind of just shot themselves in the foot.
You know why the game, it was officially released on April 1st 2021, so That's why. It was just
a belated joke. April Fool's joke.
It was an April Fool's joke, and it's just going to last for the rest of eternity. It was one of the greatest April Fool's jokes. Like, hey, here's this game. That's kind of it. Don't think about it too much. And then people are like, we kind of like this. And then they're like, crap, we got to kill it.
So we'll see. This isn't a game that I'm totally discounting. I think that they could definitely like learn from this if they are willing to listen to the community, because, you know, to a certain extent, okay, yeah, the players can be unreasonable, right, in what they expect, but also in another right, the people who play the game, like those super hardcore people who are playing the game 8 hours a day, who knows better than them to a certain extent, right? Well, who knows better than them as to like balance and what feels good.
Yeah, that's, I feel like more games need to take into account what the players want, because there's so many games that like they do things just for like a shock factor, in my opinion. Like, oh, let's just do this because I think it'll get a reaction out of people, but it's like not something that really benefits the player, because like there's very few games out there that actually do stuff like that. Like, when somebody requests something, or like, there's also a lot of game developers, I feel like they need to pay more attention to their Reddit groups that are formed around their game.
Yeah.
Because that's where a ton of people, you know, voice their opinion on what they'd like into the game. And some of those posts get so much attention that I can't believe that a developer wouldn't want to add that in.
Yeah. You know? Yes and no. Because also, this was a topic I think I had thought about putting on the list of a couple weeks ago, but like also the Reddit communities surrounding certain games sometimes attract the worst players
game. I agree. Some of them do, but then there's always going to be, you know, some troll comments and troll posts and whatever, but it's not hard to like, you know, take a look at what's posted there and see, okay, this one actually makes sense. We should implement this.
Yeah, you know? I think by and large, the ones that'll have like multiple awards and aren't written as like, you know, a huge rant and just like trying to dumpster the game, there'll be posts where it's like, constructive feedback, constructive criticism, where they're like, okay, I see what they were going for. Here would have been a much better way of doing it. Because I think that the devs sometimes don't play the game nearly as much as the players do who are playing the game, right? Because they can't. The devs don't have time. They're building the game. They don't have time to play the game that much.
Yeah.
Another huge, huge game where I think this is an issue is Warframe. And that's a reason that I stopped playing a while back, is I feel like the devs just kind of at some point stopped listening to the players and just started being like, here's what you want. And the players are like, no, that's not what we want. This is what we want. And they're like, no, this is what you want.
This is definitely what you want.
And there's just this like disconnect between the players and like the big content creators of the game and the devs trying to be like, no, this is our vision of the game. This is what we want. But it's so disconnected from what the players want that it's just like, I don't want to play the game anymore because it's not the game that I want to play.
Hmm. Yeah. I feel like sometimes it does definitely feel that way. Like, it's almost like there's somebody that's like an upper management at the developer that's like, yeah, I want to see this in there. And it's like, but that's a terrible idea. And they're like, yeah, but I sign your paycheck. And then it's like, yeah, let's do that.
Yeah, that's what I felt. That's what it feels like right now and has felt like with Warframe, where there's like a couple of big people who are just like, no, this is how I want the game to be. This is my vision of the game. And it's like, well, they're kind of the last call, right? Like it doesn't really go any further than them. If that's how they want it to be, it's going to be that way.
Yeah, I agree.
And they'll like do... I'm kind of going on a little rant about Warframe at this point, but like they'll do things where it's like, oh, cool, we've been wanting that for a while. And then they'll take like two steps forward, three steps back. And on the next patch, they'll like nerf something huge that they just put in the previous patch, which people loved. And then they'll be like, no, sorry, this was a bug. And instead of looking at why people were doing it, like why they were farming a certain thing, because it was profitable or because it was fun, they'll be like, oh no, we didn't want that. And they'll just nerf it. And people will be like, well, that was actually fun. Like we were enjoying that. Why'd you nerf that?
Yeah, it's sad when you see a game go down like that. Especially a game that you enjoy so much.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Corey, do you have a topic or is it my turn again?
It's your turn again.
Okay. All right. I want to talk, since we're about the technology thing right now, we still have plenty of time left, it seems. I want to talk about some GPUs. So, if you click on the first GPU-related article...
The more GPUs one?
Yes, more GPUs. This is called more GPUs, this segment, guys, so just keep in mind, all right? More GPUs, because that's always good.
Okay. More GPUs! Exclamation
yay,
point.
Yay, more GPUs.
Yay!
Speaking of, I was able to get my hands on two orders of RTX 3080s.
Whoa!
For
how much
retail
does that set you
below
back?
Retail price.
What?
Yep. Can't tell you how, but I did.
Below?
$800 a piece.
Scam.
Nope.
Scammer.
Yeah.
How did you... What?
I can tell you after the podcast. I can't tell everybody. It'll kill it. But I'll tell you after. So stick around.
Okay,
Jordan.
Yeah. Share
I already
your
told
secrets.
Corn about this. but the article that I was talking about, NVIDIA is trying to fight the GPU shortage right now with the GTX 1650 graphics card by increasing supply and availability in the middle of quarter two of this year. Which, no, it's not the latest flagship model, obviously, but it is still something because
it's
a lot of
a
people
card.
Just can't get their hands on anything. But it also mentioned that it might have been a separate article that they were going to be releasing some of their design for it, like for the hardware involved on it, so that they could get other people to 3D print certain parts of it to help with the supply problem. I'm not sure if that was this article or something else. But they've done that apparently in the past by sending out 3D printing specs to certain manufacturers so that they could streamline the production of it. So it would be cool to see more, you know, graphics cards out in the market. Especially because right now, if you go to look on eBay, everything is like $1,500 and up.
So, yeah.
And graphics those 3080s cards are so... $2,500 right now.
Graphics cards are so weird. There was like a period of time where like the price skyrocketed, right? And I think that was at like kind of the beginning of the Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency mining thing. Mm-hmm. And then they kind of leveled off a bit, and like it was like two or three years ago, like when we were building my wife's PC, you could get graphics cards super easily. Like we got her 1060 6 gig with no problem, mm-hmm. and for retail price, or it might have even been below retail. That's how it was when I got my 1080. Yeah, and then again, we've got this huge spike, and I think crypto is again a little bit to blame for it.
Well, but between crypto spike and the COVID spike, I think COVID that really spike, just like shot everything in the foot with how it was being released.
The COVID spike and honestly the new cards too, because I think people were holding out for the new stuff.
For the new cards, yeah.
And then you can't get your hands on the new stuff, but people still need a new card. So it's like, okay, what am I supposed to do now? I guess I'll get the previous new card. Mm-hmm. I'll get a 2060. I'll get a 2080.
And even those are hard to come by now.
And those are hard to come by because that's what people are gravitating towards when they can't get a 3070 or 3080.
Exactly.
So it's just it's nasty cycle.
Yeah. To add to that cycle, the release of the RTX 3080 Ti. This is the section that I said, oh, by the way, less GPUs in the document because, you know, less GPUs. Everybody was looking forward to April for the release of the 3080 Ti edition, but it was announced that they're pushing that back another month at this point. So we're hoping to see it be by the middle to end of May, which will be next month, hopefully. But the statement from the CEO of like Asus, where they make a bunch of these, also was said that... there's a huge shortage. Everybody's scrambling to obtain units of material to, you know, build these. They're lacking supplies. So that's why the prices are still going to keep going up. But they're estimating that this might take until the middle of next year to catch up.
Yeah. Wow. Really it looks like the 3070 Ti is also pushed back another who knows how long too, right? Because that was supposed to launch in May. But now that's pushed back a little bit too.
But anyway, so that's my GPU update. But that's pretty much it for the GPU thing.
Man.
Jordan, if you have something else, go for it. If not, I can keep talking. I mean, I was gone for 2 weeks, so.
Yeah, you got to make up for it. I do have one shorter little topic.
Go for it. Do
it. If you've got an Amazon Alexa, it's Amazon Alexa, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. I couldn't remember if it was...
Amazon, Alexa, play somebody. Despacito.
Yeah, okay. If you've got Alexa, you can now ask Alexa to download games from Xbox Game Pass.
What?
Why? So you can be like, Alexa, download Skyrim, and it'll download Skyrim onto your Xbox.
That's actually not the worst thing
your
ever.
Your X-Bone.
Or so, I guess theoretically, if you have Xbox Game Pass on your PC, you could probably do that too. But the article specifically mentioned if you have Alexa integrated into your Xbox, that'll do that.
So I've got two questions about this one. So first off, two statements I should say about this one. One question, one statement. Anyway, I remember when Xbox released their app for like the Xbox One. And I was able to log on to there and start a download remotely for stuff, which was great. Loved that. Don't know if they still have the feature. But I used to use that when I was, like, you know, at work or something. And somebody's like, hey, you want to play this later? And I'd be like, yeah, I'll download it now. And I could start downloading it from work. So it was done by the time I got home. That was great. The fact that you could do it with Alexa now is pretty cool. My question, why are they using Alexa? Because they have their own... voice assistant. They have Cortana.
Because Cortana is trash.
Yeah, no, okay. I think it's because Alexa's bigger, right?
If you use Cortana on your computer, please send a message so that everyone can block you IRL.
Is Cortana the same as Alexa? Like, can you integrate that in your whole house?
No.
I don't think so because they never went that far with it. Well, but they still push it. They still push it on every update of Windows.
And every big
you still have Cortana.
Also, every big update, they're like, "Here, I'm just going to leave Microsoft Edge on your toolbar. Just, you know, I'm going to leave this here, you know."
Hey, it's better than the old Windows Explorer.
It's better than Explorer, but you know, I'm just going to leave this here. You know, you do you. If you open it, you know, I'm going to download a bunch of, like, I'm going to automatically change this to your default browser. You know, I'm going to add a bunch of extensions to your computer, integrate Cortana. It's going to be great. Just open it once and it'll be fine.
Oh, also, we're going to take over your PDFs because that's fine.
Yes.
We had somebody at work, actually, that, so there's a few programs that we use that other companies give us, like, hey, you have to access it through this, that you have to use Edge to get to. Like, it doesn't function properly on other web browsers. Why people still do crap like that, I don't know. Why can't they just spend the extra amount of money or just give the time to develop it to work on a normal person's browser instead of only on Edge? Makes no sense
like
to me.
Like Chrome.
Yeah, like, just work on any other browser. Like, anything would be great.
Opal.
But anyway, her problem was that Edge every day would reset her PDF default, and she has Adobe Acrobat to, like, edit PDFs, right? Like, the things you do. And every time she would try to open it, every morning, it would reset to Edge. And even if we'd go in and set it to Adobe, like, manually, as soon as she, like, closed Adobe once, it would reset it to Edge. We had to, like, rebuild her entire PC to stop it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just one of the most annoying problems.
This actually brings up a good point, because my wife was talking a few months back, probably now.
About, she doesn't talk now, by the way.
She doesn't talk anymore now. About anything.
No.
A little update. Not an update. It's just a random thing. I went to go get my vaccine today, and my arm hurts. Like, it feels like I've been flexing for, like, hours. Like, it's like a nonstop flex.
You know what
flex.
It feels like? It feels like someone just knuckle punches you right in the upper arm.
Wait, you got
yours
too?
I got my second one a few days ago.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It was a really cool experience though. Like, it was kind of like creepy. Like, I went to the Raymond James Stadium in Tampa to get it, and they, like, line everyone up. You don't even have to get out of your car, and, like, there's lines and lines of, like, people just waiting, you know, getting their information, going to get the shot or whatever. And it's like, I sat there and I was looking at it, and it was like, it literally looked like a scene from I Am Legend. And my wife was like, don't say that, stop.
Yeah, it is surreal for sure.
But it was a really good experience. It was honestly really fast. There was there was tons of people in front of me, and I was out of there in like 20 minutes.
Yeah, you're in and out real fast.
So. So if you live in Florida and you don't know where to go get your vaccine and you can't get an appointment, Raymond James Stadium in Tampa is giving the vaccine free, no appointment, just show up. It's the Pfizer, and they only do 1,600 doses a day. So I got there at 6, and literally I was like, there was only like 3 people behind me before they did the cutoff. And I was like, whew.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay. I have Well, are you done with your Alexa news?
Yeah, I'm done with the Alexa news, but we started talking about browsers, and that actually got me thinking, like I was saying, about a topic my wife brought up. It was probably a few months ago at this point. I'd say, if I had to guess, you guys both use Chrome, right?
Correct.
Of course.
The only browser.
Firefox actually looks a little competitive again to Chrome for a few reasons.
Really?
One is actual privacy, because we were talking about Chrome a while back and about them, even if you're in incognito, you're not actually incognito, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They're still tracking what you're doing.
Yeah, they see all those Hornhub links.
Yeah, they see what you're doing, you dirty dogs. Firefox is, from what I can tell, much less invasive in what they track and what they actually collect from you.
I don't believe it.
And
yeah, I feel like it's only seems that way because they're not as big as Google is.
Maybe.
Because Google is like so under a spotlight with a lot of things because of how large they are. That like that's why things get found out if something happens. Whereas like, you know, if Edge were tracking all your data when you were in like private browsing or whatever, nobody would even care because it doesn't affect them.
I don't care. I don't care what you say, but every app, every web browser, every OS tracks what you do. Like
to an extent, yeah. I'm
there's
sure.
No, to there's a point, no real to privacy. A point. I mean, even if you have, I would even say, even if you have a VPN, there is some sort of tracking. Maybe they can't track it directly to you, but still, some kind of data is being tracked somewhere.
Right. I agree.
Which I just got a VPN. One big thing, and though, I will say it's the most entertaining thing because when I'm bored of YouTube in America, I switch my access to Japan, and it is the coolest thing because I'll just I learned like the certain words to put in for YouTube to find all like the street racing and like street drifting videos, and it's so entertaining. It's so cool.
Yeah, that reminds me of something else I wanted to talk to you guys about after the podcast. So
write it down.
Yep, doing that now. Anyway, so we'll move on.
One other thing that though I was noticed, or I have noticed for a long time, you guys probably have too, Chrome has a big memory leak problem. I don't know if you noticed this, but it'll, if you leave it open especially, it'll eat up a ton of your memory.
What on earth are you talking about? I don't have 1.5 million tabs open of Chrome all the time.
No, even if you don't you don't have 1.5 million tabs, it just eats your RAM.
Yeah, so
it like does. It does.
So I don't understand, but like I only have one window of Chrome open and two tabs, and I have 15 Chrome things under Task Manager. 17 now. Under Task Manager, and I don't understand
it. I have 16, but I also have 16 tabs open.
Yeah, and it'll eat up a huge portion of your RAM. Of my
memory.
Like for no apparent reason, Chrome will just be like, "I'm gonna eat up like 50% of your RAM."
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I have 32 gigs of RAM, and it's using 6% of it.
Jeez, dude. That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah, so, it's using...
I know. It's always been like that, and it'll always be like that for me because I just can't close it. I can't do it.
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't have that much stuff open, and it's taking like 580 megs of RAM.
Well, yeah. that's your sign to just open more things because it's only going to take so much.
Yeah.
It's diminishing returns on how much RAM it eats up.
Yeah.
That's actually fun. I wonder how many tabs I can open before it like gets to like 100% memory.
I don't know.
But yeah, just
there's one way to find out.
I've been kicking around maybe switching to Firefox. That's basically really? What it boiled down to. We'll see. I have to dig in a little bit more to like the pros and cons between the two. I remember back in the day, Firefox was like the browser, right?
Yeah, back in the day, that was the like when I was like in middle school or in middle school. That was like that was way better than Chrome at the time.
And even for a while after that, it was like Chrome and Firefox for like the two like dueling world powers of the internet. And then Microsoft Explorer, like Windows Explorer, was just like in the corner eating glue while Chrome and Firefox were like duking it out.
I don't know though. I mean, I'm so ingrained in Chrome, like all my
I don't think I'd be
that's the problem. That's it, right? Like all of my passwords are saved on Chrome. I have Chrome linked between my phone and my and my computer and you know, my tablet.
That is the most helpful thing, by the way. The little send this page on your PC. Mm-hmm. Like you just hit send this page and go to whatever other device and then it's there and you don't have to worry about it.
That's my biggest thing is like even if Firefox is better, I don't know if I want to hassle with switching everything over. Because I'm so invested in Chrome at this point.
It might be better in some ways, but I feel like it might lack features, you know?
Yeah,
it may be. It might be better in like performance-wise, but do the features really give it that much like of a benefit?
We use we use Google, we use Gmail, you know what I mean? We use Google Drive, we're using Google Docs right now, like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very well integrated with YouTube. It's just, it's... I don't know. It's a hard. It'd have to. I don't know. Like, what would it have to do for you to switch? I mean, I don't think I can even answer that question. I don't know what it would have.
It would have to allow me to just like transfer everything over.
You'd have to pay me a lot of money to switch. Just for the convenience factor.
You'd have to make an option somehow for me to like transfer everything over. Everything,
yeah.
Like all my saved passwords. All of my bookmarks, everything. All
right, Firefox, you heard him.
Well, go ahead
and do that and he'll switch.
Well, honestly, Jordan, like I just did, I put all my passwords with Nord and they have all the passwords and under a secure pass. So I could just transfer them that way. But
yeah, I actually never dug into that. I saw that it was an option in Nord and I haven't dug into that yet.
Yeah, I went ahead and I just paid for it because it was... Yeah, I got like a super sale on it. I think I got like 70% off. So I was like, you know what? I have a lot of passwords.
All right. I got to talk about some car stuff.
Wait. I want to say one more thing about this.
Hurry up.
The one thing that I think would put Firefox ahead or even, you know, more close to Chrome is if like a big company bought them, like Amazon or something like that, you know what I mean, and make it like
you know what?
The official Amazon browser.
Microsoft should just buy Firefox because then they'd have at least a few users.
Yeah,
you know what? If Microsoft bought Firefox, I would probably be way more inclined to use it. Amazon, maybe not so much. I saw what they've done to Twitch. I'm not convinced they know how to deal with it.
That's true.
Yeah, you're going to get ads popping up every time you search something before you get the results.
And like every 20 minutes.
Yeah, and then if you try to search something on like YouTube or something, it'll give you a copyright strike.
Oh, God. you listen to music on your computer, not even on the web browser, and it DMCA's you.
Yeah. You're like playing music on Spotify and it's like, nope, can't see that.
Giving you pop-ups like... Amazon would like to know your location.
You're like, no, I don't think so. Not today, Jeff Bezos. All right, car news. Hit us, Devin.
All right, guys. Rivian, the electric vehicle company that wants to compete with Tesla. So they have announced their warranty. And without can anybody take a guess?
I clicked on it already. I can't guess.
Did Porsche successfully get a majority stake in Rivian?
That's not what we're talking about right now. I don't know the answer to that, so I can't tell you.
Wow. Okay.
Well, let me do a quick Google search.
Good
on
research,
that one.
Devin.
Since I already looked at the title.
Oh, that wasn't even what I was supposed to talk about.
You bring up Rivian and just like, oh, I don't know.
I'm here today.
Yeah, at least you're here.
Anyway. So Rivian announced their
warranty. Your life. If you die, you get a revive.
No, that's not correct. But they do offer a 175,000-mile warranty for their new SUV and pickup truck.
Wow.
175,000 miles, 8 years or 175,000 miles. That is insane. First off, I've never kept a car for longer than 2 years.
That's a you problem.
That's a me problem. But the standard
I don't think I've ever had a car last for longer than 2 years.
It's not anywhere near that. It's like 60,000 miles is the standard, warranty. Tesla only offers a 50,000-mile bumper-to-bumper and 100,000 miles on their battery, whereas Rivian's offering 175,000 miles on their warranty coverage, which is insane.
That's a lot. That's a lot of miles.
Yeah. That's a heck of a lot of miles.
I think about the average in Tennessee, the average mileage per year, the average annual mileage per driver is 15,000 miles. Mm-hmm. So if you were to figure 175,000 miles divided by 15,000, that's like 12 years almost.
Yeah. I mean, even so currently the highest typical car manufacturer warranty that you can get is from Hyundai or Kia, which is 10 years, 100,000 miles powertrain, and then 60,000 mile bumper to bumper. This is way beyond that.
Yeah.
This is an insane amount. So they're wanting you to actually get in your car and drive and not have to worry about if something breaks.
Yeah, also, not only that, which not, is only, insane get, not only get in your car and
no
drive.
No other car company can touch them with that.
Yeah.
Not only get in your car and drive, they're convinced that they're not, they wouldn't do this if they weren't 100% confident in their product, right? Because they're not going to want to fix everyone's car when they break down in 75,000 miles. They are confident that it's going to make it to that 175,000 miles, or at least the majority. At least the majority of them will make it to that point without any huge things coming up, right?
Do you at least know the MSRP on these things?
The MSRP on the Rivian? I don't think it's been announced yet.
Yeah, I don't think it. I was just Googling it a second ago with the Porsche thing, and I didn't see any MSRP either.
Because that's a kicker too. They haven't announced if it's like $150,000 truck or even $100,000 truck, I mean, I would expect a warranty kind of like that.
Well, no, but other you car don't get that.
No one,
that.
Yeah, no one else. No one else does that. You can buy.
You
a
can
Raptor.
Go get a Bugatti, and you don't get a warranty like that.
That's true.
Exactly.
But, I mean, this is full electric drivetrain and battery coverage for 175,000 miles. 8 years. Most car companies that do electric vehicles, they don't even think their battery is going to last that long.
That's the big kicker, right? Because the car will keep going. The battery is going to be your first thing that dies. It's always been like that since the first big electric vehicle that really mainstreamed it was the Prius, right? The Toyota Prius. The battery was always the first thing to die, and that was the big stigma around them. Mm-hmm. And it was almost always way before 100,000 or around that point.
It was usually within the first 3 to 5 years, the battery would die on those.
Yeah,
and
which,
then
is
it was
probably,
within
which is probably only
100,000 miles or less.
Yeah. 3 or 4 years is probably only 60,000 miles.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 100,000 miles past that point that this warranty is going to.
And I am curious for sure if – actually, I think the pickup truck might start at 75,000, if I'm not mistaken. I think I read that somewhere. Or that was the reservation thing. It was 75,000, which is still – that's the average price of a nicer pickup truck right now.
That's not a bad
you
price.
You go to get a Dodge Ram and it's going to cost you 55, 60 grand.
Yeah.
If you go get a new Dodge Ram.
And that's well, 50,000, that's stock. That's that's the lowest trim level.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. And so here you're going to get a, electric SUV or an electric pickup truck with – you know, whatever other, I don't even know all the options yet because I don't think all of them have been announced yet.
I also like, will say about Rivian too, is that these Rivian trucks look like trucks and they look like they're meant to do truck things. You know what I mean? Like a lot of these other electric SUVs or electric quote unquote trucks, except maybe the Cybertruck. The Cybertruck is probably going to fulfill its, you know, what it says it's going to do. But all these other...
will the windshield shatter?
Exactly. But these SUVs are just... They're just big sedans. Like, they just are meant for the road. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
They look good. They look unique, though, at the same time. Like, it looks like it can do truck things. But it also looks unique in a good way. Like, looking at that article, looking at the truck, it looks futuristic and cool, but it still looks like a truck that you can do truck things with. You look at the, if you scroll down, you look at the picture of that SUV, the first thing I get is like Land Rover vibes when I look at that SUV.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing. Yeah. Like Land Rover vibes in the best way.
All right. I know we're right in the middle of this, but we gotta move on to our recalls. We're getting up to our little hour time limit here.
People have been missing this for the last couple of weeks. They've missed the recalls.
Hey, wait. The cars. On, not last week, but the week before, I did a recall.
You did a recall. Yeah. It wasn't
That's
the same,
so nice
though.
Of you.
Oh,
it
let's wasn't see. The same. Wait, let's see if we can continue the streak. What recalls we got, Devin?
All right, let's see. We've actually missed a few because of everything. We last one we did was, I believe, the Kia with the seatbelt recall for like child safety,
and
if I'm not
the
mistaken.
The one that I did was the recall on the fast charger for the Ford Mach-E.
Okay.
Ford Mach.
Gotcha. All right. Well, we have Mercedes recall.
Oh,
today. Ooh, a bit of a dark horse. Ooh.
For their Mercedes-Benz, the roof panel recall on quite a few models. Basically, if your Mercedes is from the 2017 or newer, actually, I can't even say that, 2014 or newer, because they have, this is by far the longest list of vehicles I have seen in a good minute in a single recall.
2014 is a year after
those
I graduated.
Are all the vehicle trims and models.
Oh my god,
that I just sent. So basically, if your Mercedes has a panoramic roof, the panoramic sunroof, the front panel between the windshield and the panoramic sunroof may not have been bonded correctly.
Wow.
Okay.
So that can cause the panel bonding to deteriorate, possibly, and cause the front panel to detach from the vehicle and become a road hazard.
And you get a convertible also.
Ejecto roof.
So if you have a Mercedes, just call. Like, I can't read. Like, it would take me a good, like, 5 to 10 minutes to read through all of these.
All right.
Because first off, Mercedes just doesn't have the nicest way of naming
their cars. All
right, I got
this.
But only if they're equipped with a panoramic sunroof.
Yeah.
No.
Like I said,
deserves...
that took him 4 minutes to read.
Yeah, I was about
that
to say that
took
literally like
four minutes.
Wow.
I have other recalls to do, man. All right, so GM, we have the Chevy Express, the 2021, and also the 2021 GMC Savannah, which have a fire risk because of a short circuit on a battery terminal, positive battery cable terminal. may contact a fuse block assembly and cause an electrical short circuit. So if you have those cars, get those checked.
Sounds like fun.
We got the 2015 to 2020 Audi A3, and then the 16 to 18 A3 e-tron, as well as a 17 to 20 RS3, and the 15 to 20 S3. They all have airbag recalls. We've mentioned airbag recalls before. Get those checked. Don't die. Yep. Man, I got so many. I have to go through these because, like, it's been 2 weeks and these need to be said. But the 2015 Chevy Colorado and GMC Canyon both have recalls. This is for a loss of power steering, which those are big trucks and kind of heavy. So, like, get that checked.
You know what? If you lose power steering, it's just a workout. That's all it is. It's been a while since we've all been to the gym.
Hold on. Listen. You have that. So what people call them down here in Florida, at least, Jordan, they're called Q-tips, right? And the reason they're called Q-tips is because when you're behind them in the car and you look in through their rear window, all you see is the white hair coming up over the seat, right? Mm-hmm. And they usually have these frail little arms attached to them that cannot turn a 6,000-pound vehicle.
Tell you what's fun. I used to be a school bus driver. You want to know what's not fun? Is when you lose power steering in a school bus. That is not fun.
See, exactly. I deal with no power steering in my Miata every day, which is fine because the car weighs 2,000 pounds. But if your car weighs 5,000 pounds and you're not an able-bodied person, I don't think you're going to turn it very effectively.
Yeah. You know what? They've got to work out those arms somehow, or else they're just going to lose them.
Yeah, but not on the highway going 60, Grandma.
Well, there's got to be some stakes.
Oh, my God. Okay, this is a huge recall, all right?
If COVID didn't get them, that will.
Oh, God. This is a massive recall. It is for Honda, okay?
Honda, I
there
like
are 630,000 vehicles affected.
Wow.
Honda. All right. Wow. That's surprising.
It encompasses the 2019 and 2020 of all the following models, as well as the 2018 and 19. And I'm going to say all the models because it's all the years. So 2018 or newer of these models, get them checked. We have the Acura MDX, all trim levels, the RDX, the TLX, the Honda Accord, the Civic Hatchback, and the Insight. We also have the Acura ILX, Honda Accord Hybrid, Civic Coupe, Civic Coupe SI, Sedan, Sedan SI, and Type R. We have the Fit, the HRV, and the Odyssey, the Passport, Pilot, and Ridgeline, and the CRV have a issue with a low-pressure fuel pump inside the fuel tank failing and can cause the engine to stall while driving, increasing the risk of a crash. So get those checked as well. My God, I have so many. Okay, I'm going to try to run through these as quick as possible.
All right, guys. Blitz them. Just blitz them. No more goofs. Okay. Just go.
2020 to 2021 Lincoln Aviator, 35,000 of them are recalled. The issue with these is the image processing module may provide video or may be unable to provide video feed, which basically you lose your backup camera and some rear visibility issues. So get that checked. 2021 Alfa Romeo Stelvio recall.
Oh,
there's only 1,200 of these, but we hardly ever see an Alfa Romeo recall, so that's kind of interesting. It's an improperly crimped clamp, which may allow the side curtain airbag cushion and inflator to separate, causing an incomplete deployment.
Crimp those cramps.
So that's kind of important. Yeah, crimp those cramps. Mercedes-Benz with a power steering recall also. 5,000 cars.
Do I need to go over the list again?
No, this one's a shorter list. It's the 2017 to 2018 B250E, CLA 250, AMG CLA 45, GLA 250, and AMG GLA 45 vehicles where a steering shaft borehole for the joint is moving too much and you can lose your steering.
And then lose your borehole.
Also, wow, Mercedes is on a roll today. I mean, we got three for Mercedes today. All right.
Can we get a round 12,000 of applause for Mercedes?
In a bad way.
Good job, Mercedes. Yay. Bad job. So they have a seat position switch recall on 2021 C-Class, E-Class of all trims and some AMGs. I get those checked. I mean, it's not a huge deal, I guess, but I guess apparently it can affect your airbags and seatbelts that do not perform properly in a crash. So yeah, I guess that's pretty important. Get those checked. Lastly, last one, and then we'll let you guys leave. We love you. Thank you for listening. But the 2021 Infiniti Q50 and Q60 are having issues with, after detecting rapid acceleration, the engine control module, the computer inside, may incorrectly reduce engine power and reduce fuel supply to the engine, causing a stall.
So
if you step on it,
every Infiniti owner.
No, just the 2021 Q50 and Q60. All right? There's only 13,000 of these. But that's all I got for you today, okay? It was good being back. I appreciate it. Thank you guys for, you know, welcoming me back with open arms. I missed you all very much.
And I hope everyone feels safer now that you know all the recalls. Yeah. And yeah, you know, I mean, your car might
blow
up.
You had 2 weeks where you could have just spontaneously died.
You might have died. You might have died.
If you had a Kia, you probably did die.
I mean,
well, possible, there's only so much we can do for Kia owners. You know,
I guess they're doing okay.
Yeah, Kia owners aren't very smart.
Ouch. Sometimes. Well, that's the way to end it.
That's kind of a blanket statement. Anyways, though, but Corin's thoughts are not the thoughts or feelings of the entire Glitches and Gearheads podcast.
Corin's thoughts do not reflect the other two people.
Correct. So his thoughts are his own, and that's how it is, and we're sorry, but that's how he says it. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.